Welcome to the Roots of Success podcast.
We've raised the bar.
Tap into the source of your success through real stories from real people.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to level up and get to the root of your success.
And now your host, Nate the Great Peterman.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Roots of Success podcast. I am your host, Nate the Great, and today we have a very incredible special guest, the one and only Sophia Castro. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. Always love hanging out with Nate the Great.
No, I appreciate it, Sophia. I know whenever we're in the area, we always try to make time for each other and, you know, discuss business, or it's always great to have those mastermind talks as well with each other too.
It's always awesome hanging around with like-kind people.
Oh yeah. But yeah, kind of the audience base that we have here, they're very millennial based, late 20s, even late teens. We have a lot of realtors that follow the show as well. So kind of fill them in a little bit where Sophia comes from, because I feel as if people, they'll look at the highlights with what it is you've been able to do to this point, right? They look at, you know, what you're worth, the things that, you know, you've built, and that's cool, but I like to hit on the in-between part.
Yes.
You know?
The hard part.
Yeah. So kind of feel
the hard part.
On your background.
So a lot of you might know my husband, Bobby Castro. Myself and Bobby met when we were very, very young. I was 18 years old. He was only 22. And we both come from very, very similar backgrounds, have, you know, our family are, you know, extremely humble. We both were grown up in the same city. So when we met, Bobby was always very positive and always wanting to get more out of life than what he had, and didn't want to fall in the same footprints as his family had already traditionally come from. And my family came from Cuba. I was one of the first ones of my family that's born in the United States. So I'm like first generation of the United States. And I was, you know, raised with my family just saying, hey, we got to just work to pay our food, our rent, and cars, our necessities. There was never, ever, ever a moment of like, let's do better, let's try to improve, let's try that. That wasn't in their mindset. That wasn't in my mindset. When I met Bobby, he had this mindset of wanting to do this, you know, entrepreneur, have this positive mental attitude. And I was like, what is all of this? I didn't understand any of it. I was 18 years old, but, you know, he told me I'm not going to be that normal person, but I decided to go on that journey with him. And I'm so blessed and grateful that I did, because what Bobby has taught me in life has been awesome. We have been able to fight through so many obstacles because we know what our end goal of life was going to be, what we wanted. I never imagined what we got today, but we had to hustle. We went through having zero money, having, you know, Bobby, when I met Bobby, Bobby didn't even have a car. Bobby would get a bus and ride bike to work.
Yeah.
So it was that bad. And we decided that we were going to have a game plan and try. We never thought we were going to be, you know, where we're at, but we said, okay, we'll own our own business. And that way we could have tried to gauge what, how much money we want to make for ourselves, what we want to do, and not have to be at the mercy of an employer or not being able to grow or at the pace that we wanted to grow. So we tried many businesses, very small little businesses that if I sit here, we're going to go for 5 hours. But, you know, we tried little entrepreneur gigs and we failed at many of them. And we didn't fail because we were lazy or we didn't try. We failed because main reason, we had no financial backing. Second of all, we had no mentors. We had nobody that was able to give us that road of like, this is the path to, you know, success. We didn't have any of that. We didn't have it from our families. We didn't know that mentors existed out there, and we didn't have the financial capacity to even hire one, even if we found out of one. So we did it the hard way, and we just hustled and hustled. And eventually we got to a point that we understood what it took to be able to be successful. And, you know, it wasn't easy. Like I said, you know, at one point I got pregnant very soon when I met Bobby. 6 months into our relationship, I was 19 years old. Bobby was 24 at that time, or 23, I'm sorry. And we had to become parents with no money, with no structure of our life, because at that point we're just met and we're trying to figure out this whole entrepreneurship. It was as bad that we had to get on government finance help because I had to get wig for the baby. We needed help. We had no money, but that didn't stop us. That just gave us more fuel that we were like, this is not what we want. This, we could do this. And we really put both of our efforts together. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm switching a little bit here on a couple side. A lot of people don't understand that your partner is your best friend. You know, your spouse, your girlfriend, your whatever it is, whoever it is that you have in your life as a life partner, those are, that's your best source to be able to reach to the end goal. Because everybody doesn't understand that you both have that end goal, that you both need each other. So we decided that we're going to do this different than everybody else. We're going to do this together and we're going to hold each other's hand. We're going to push one to get in front. And then when the other one's falling back, well, the hand is there. We like tag team on this, and we were able to reach financial freedom together. And it's been amazing. I would not change not one single thing of this journey. Like I said, we, at the very beginning, we had to live with my parents. We didn't even have enough money to pay for gas at some point. But I wouldn't change that. That made us who we are today, and we're still, I feel very humble. Like, even though with all the financial freedom we have and the goals that we've accomplished, I will never forget the struggles that it took us to get there. So, you know, I still treasure every single step that we took, and I would never take anything for granted because it was not easy. And it was a super difficult task, but I wouldn't change it. I loved every single step that we had to take to get there. It was amazing because it was a lesson that I learned that no university, no job, nobody would have been able to give me, or me and Bobby, that experience or that knowledge that we have today.
Mm. Gosh, I probably had about 1,000 questions. Yeah. Just give me. So with what it is that you've been able to do today, what was the desire? You know, because I mean, you mentioned that you didn't really have the goal of accomplishing what it is that you've done today. So what was that desire that told you to just keep going?
You know, at the beginning, it was Bobby. I, like I said, I really didn't. I come from a very humble family, but I was nowhere near like starving or anything. My father had a job. My mother was a stay-at-home mom because we were 7 kids. Wow. So she had to raise them. But my dad had a pretty decent, he had 2 jobs, not one. He had 2 jobs, and we were normal, so I didn't know that other life. But Bobby, on the other hand, comes from a little bit more humble family than myself. His mother was a single mom working, had 4 children. She was more of a struggle because of that. You know, his dad was there, but not really there. And great dad in the sense of being a father, but not financially and not for a husband. So he just didn't want that. He would go to Tony Robbins. He was listening to more of these entrepreneurship that I didn't know of. So he had this goal already set in his mind. So when he met me, he introduced me to this. And I'm like, yeah, wait a minute. I want that too. I didn't know about this life. I definitely want it. So once we had our baby, we had no choice. We were like, either we were going to let her be able to live this normal life that it's struggle all the time, or we really put our steps on and really get this going. We could do it. Why not? There are so many other people that have done it with no money, with no other people pushing them. And we were like, no, we could do this. We want this for our kids. We want to be able to be successful in something that, in whatever arena it was, it didn't matter. We didn't even know if it was going to be financing, if it was going to be real estate. We didn't know. We just said, we're going to do this somehow, some way, and we're going to get to be financially free. And at the beginning, we thought only rich. I swear, we just wanted to be rich, to be able to have a home, to be able to buy, you know, the nice clothes, to be able to buy the jewelry, all the nice cars. Again, we were 19 and 23 years old. Yeah. So that was our main goal at the very beginning. After a while, when we started really struggling and really working hard, and we saw what a struggle this was, we were like, forget material stuff. That's not what we want. We want to be able to be financially free and create a generational wealth for our generations to come, and not just be, you know, oh, we have, you know, $1,000 today, we're going to go spend it on, and then tomorrow, what do you have? So we, as, you know, the journey went on, we started understanding, growing, and then changed our shift of being rich to being generational wealth into our life.
You know, when you're young, I feel as if, especially late teens, going into early 20s, money management is very, I mean, it's not taught in school.
Not at all.
You know, so I feel as if people, they don't invest properly. They don't even know what investing is. Yeah. So what advice would you give to somebody that is out there? Maybe they have a business. Maybe they're thinking about starting a business, and they have all these bills, and they keep getting obsessed with, you know, different payment plans, or just buying all these odds and ends.
I was there. You know, my biggest advice would be something that Bobby and I always say to everybody. It's called stack and rack. You have to stack your money in order to be able to rack in the investments, create a business. And in order to do that, you have to have core values. You have to understand where you're at the moment, where you're at today. You can't be thinking up here when you're here. So from here to here, you have to have a plan. You have to understand, if I have $100,000 of debt that I need to pay off, what you're stacking is to take care of that debt. If you want to open a business, you have to have a structure. I need $5. I need $100 million. Whatever it is, you have to have a path. You have to have goals to be able to meet. Because if not, you're going to be scrambling, and you're going to be that hamster on that hamster wheel and just doing this. You're never going to get to that next level, ever. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you do not stack and rack in the correct way and have a path to that goal, you're not going to get there. And that happened to us, guys, for like a good 5 years. I think we went on that hamster wheel. We were just spinning and spinning, and we were like, what are we doing? We can't get there. We can't get to the next level. Instead of climbing the ladder, we wanted to take a leap to the top. And what that did to us just brought us back 5 years, 5-6 years. I don't know exactly. But it brought us back until we finally sat down and we're like, we cannot continue to do this. You have to have core values. You have to have a plan. You have to know your finances. Your finances are one of your biggest obstacles to let you get to the next level.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it, you know, it took around 5 years. I mean, throughout those 5 years, I'm sure you had plenty of moments like, golly, when's this gonna let up? You know, when's that breakthrough just gonna hit? So around those 5 years, when you had that breakthrough, like, what do you really think was that defining moment for you to just experience that, to do that, you know?
Exactly what I just said. It was that moment that we sat down and we said, we don't even have a plan. We don't have core values. We don't know the path to get to the next level. Yeah. And we're already wanting to leap. So what we learned was knowledge. Started reading, started really understanding what we wanted, and that we needed to climb the ladder. Okay. We had to climb that ladder. You needed to take that step. And a lot of people want to imagine this beautiful, big life with everything they want, but they don't want to do that hard work, right? So if you don't sit, where are you today? Even right now, guys, and I know we're financially free. We have accomplished a lot of things in our lives. We're still sitting here, and we have meetings once a week of where are we today? What do we want to do the next step? And what do we want out of it? Because if you don't know, climbing that step, you're going to fall right back down again. So, you know, really understand your goals, your core value, your finances, so that you could take that step. When you get to that step, then you have to regroup. And those core values, your finances, your path to the next level change. They're still changing for us. So it's very, very important to be humble enough to know, where am I at and where do I want to go?
I love that. You know, starting out with you and Bobby, and then you mentioned it's like you guys are ride and die. Did you know that right from the start whenever you guys met? Or?
You know, at the beginning, I was very skeptical because I meet this guy. I'm like, you don't even know me. He's asking me to be his ride and die. I mean, as soon as I meet him, and he's telling me to quit my job, come along with his side. Let's go open a business. Let's go do this. And I'm like, what? Like, are you crazy? Like, okay, no. Like, to tell you the truth, it took me to the time that I got pregnant to really, and that was 6 months. It wasn't big. It wasn't a huge big. But when I got pregnant, I'm like, okay, what am I doing here? I either have to not be with this guy or believe in him, grab his hand, and let's take this journey together and be our ride and die. And luckily, we decided to, you know, be our ride and die, grab our hands, and take this path together. And it's been an amazing, amazing ride. Very blessed to have him in my life. So it's been awesome. We're a great complement to one another. You know, he's a little crazy on one side, and then I have crazy on the other side, but we balance each other amazing, and we've been able to accomplish so many things in life that's been the reward has been great.
Yeah, you're the yin and the yang.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel as if within the entrepreneurial world that relationships, of course, they're extremely important, but if we're talking from a couple perspective, I feel business owners really get distracted with it. And I feel as if it can just totally throw them off their mission. And I think about, man, how many more successful entrepreneurs, how many more successful business owners would there be if they stay focused? So I guess within yourself and with Bobby together, was there a lot of distractions?
I don't know about distractions per se, but there was a lot of obstacles that we needed to get through, especially that we were so young, didn't really know each other, and then starting a business together. And so at the very beginning, we would fight a lot. Bobby has a very type A personality. Everything has to be like this. He's very focused. He's very OCD. And I'm a little bit more of a relaxed, you know, I'll get my things done, but I'm not like super OCD or so. At the very beginning, it took us a lot to understand each other's personalities. And we didn't set lanes, like I call them. You have this lane, I have this lane. We're both going to the same end goal, but you drive here, I drive here. And at the beginning, we were just, again, we didn't know all of these, you know, moving parts when it becomes, you know, an entrepreneur, starting a business, being a husband and wife, having a big, all these things, we didn't understand them. And as we went going and growing, we started saying, listen, I came up with something like, okay, so if we're fighting because of this, why don't you set some responsibilities that you're going to handle in the business and that I'm going to handle in the business. And then we meet together and we try to organize. If you need my help, I need your help. We'll do that. We did that. And it was so much better. Now, a lot of couples always say, yeah, but now I get annoyed being with my husband or my wife all day long, having to see her at work, then having to see her at home, having to go do sports or fun time or family time, and I'm with my wife and my husband all day long. So it's a difficult thing for spouses to get along. But Bobby and me learned that we were going to speak and communicate and try to make this work, because if we didn't, what was the other outcome? He tried to be an entrepreneur on himself, me go work for somebody. Why not be able to communicate like adults? And let's say what, you know, sometimes I didn't like that Bobby would tell me to do my job at the time that he wanted me to do it, right? I didn't like that. It would bother me and I would snap at him, you know, and then he would get mad that I would get mad at him. So those things you have to learn, that communication, bending, you know, balancing act with each other is very important. So we learned how to do it did it work right away? No. But we knew that our end goal was here. And we both wanted to get there. So we needed that, you know, let me hand you back up or grab my hand. And it was going to work best. So we were only fighting the grid. Why? It worked. And then when you learn that, it was so smooth. And now it's amazing. We have a little little rule in our relationship that if the fight is not going to bring us to a divorce, walk away from each other and just give each other 5 minutes, an hour, whatever you need. But why fight? You fight and then later on you're right back at, oh, I love you. Oh, I'm sorry. Why? You've wasted so many hours. And in business, every hour counts. Even in your life, like Bobby says, your non-refundable minutes. So why are you spending your non-refundable minutes with somebody that only wants your best interest? So,
ooh, quote that.
Yeah. So we learned that, and that's why we've been so successful together, being able to create this empire and this generational wealth that we have created for hopefully 100 years. That's, you know, our goal. And it's been an amazing, beautiful, we have a great relationship. We love each other. Our business thrives. And who better do you want next to your side?
Yeah, you guys are the perfect example because even these, I mean, we're talking, you know, the top of the wealthiest in the world. You see the issues that they go through.
Yeah.
But then married, you guys are lifelong partners with everything that you do.
Yeah.
So you guys are always on each other's hip and everything. And I feel as if that's just something that's so crucial for those that are listening and just anybody that watches this, they'll slowly start to realize that, especially
yeah.
being young, because you can't just go from here to here. You have to go through that gap in between. You have to go through the jungle, cut down with machete, all these different, you know, like the grass, the wires and
yeah. And then another thing that people don't understand, let's say you don't work with your spouse, guys, mm-hmm. ladies, men, whatever, everybody that's listening. When you have a bad day at work and you get home, your spouse or your girlfriend, whatever it is, doesn't understand what you went through at the day. You get home and that person wants to be happy or wants to sit and talk to you and you're in a bad mood. You don't want to talk, right? What happens? Your spouse, your boyfriend, whatever, your partner gets super pissed off at you because they're not understanding what you're doing. Or you come home and you're super jippity, ah, yeah, and then your spouse is with the babies all day or with the kids or had an awful day at work.
Yeah.
They don't understand whether, you know, it's your boyfriend or wife or whatever. They don't understand what's going on at work. So then you get home and your life at home is like this, mm-hmm. right? So if you don't have your spouse or your partner in the same business, you still got to come together and discuss your business with your other, your significant other, so that when you get home mad or you get home happy, they could understand your mood and where it's coming from, so that at home you're at peace, you're together. And that brings a big outcome when you get to work the next day or whatever, because you got home and you're in a happy place because your spouse is able to listen to your bad, your good, your whatever it is you guys could discuss your day. So a lot of men out there, they feel like they're the, you know, and don't take this wrong, men, but it's the alpha in you. And I'm not saying it. There's some women that are like that, but majority of the men feel like I'm the one that has to be the one that's making the money. It's my business. My wife doesn't need to be involved. She doesn't need to know. She needs to be the housewife. And then when you're at home, you're unhappy. You can't even ask your wife to go out to have a drink with you. You want to go and leave your wife at home because, so how does that make your whole life whole and happy? Yeah, you could be a great entrepreneur, super excited about bringing in, you know, accomplishments and this and that, but then at your home, you're not happy. So you can never be 100% if you can't bring this together. And business and home life are one to one. They are right there. So Bobby and myself learned that too. And I try to tell that to every entrepreneur, to any couple out there that wants to get ahead in life and that they want to do something is learn that when you pick that spouse, that partner, you picked it for a reason, because you want that partner to be there for you, whether in the good times or in the bad times. And you can't be successful if you cannot have your whole life happy, filled with joy and wanting to be at home too, you know, because you want to get home and be happy. Yeah. So, you know, if you don't want to be in business with your spouse, I get it. Some people can't do it. But understand how to communicate how you're feeling. How's your business? What are your struggles? Because that spouse could give you advice, even though they're not at your business, on how to get through some struggles or how to implement something that you didn't think of. You know, so they're your partners. So, you know, use that, because it really gives you power. It really does. And I have been doing it with Bobby for 30 years and we're still going strong and wouldn't change it for the life of us. But that's just us. But if you don't want to bring in your spouse or you're not in business with your spouse, at least make sure that you communicate that. So that way you are able to be happy or sad at home and not feel the pressure of that other person not understanding you.
You said within the males, they definitely have, I feel like, yeah, they have that guard. It's like their ego can't accept whenever their partner, the female, gives them that advice. I just, gosh, it kills so many relationships and then the partnerships within the business.
100%. 100%. And if they would learn that little trick, I'm telling you, it is a life changer, guys. It's life-changing, because it makes you just bring down that guard and be able to be successful at home. That's being successful at home.
That's huge.
It's huge because it is a struggle. You know, you have personalities, whatever, but if you could take that on, you would see what it would do for your other side in business. It's great. It really is.
I'm curious, Sophia, on, let's say couples are getting ready to have children or they already do have children. With raising your kids, how was that? Especially with the involvement that they're involved with your businesses, you know? So that's just not some easy walk in the park.
No, that was another good struggle. You know, Bobby and myself, we were so young when we started. We didn't know any better. Our kids came to the office every day after school. Our kids had to come to our office and they would do their homework here. At the office, not on this one, but at the office, they would do the homework. And when they were done with the homework, they always wanted to explore around the office and see what was going on, right? Well, what happens? The mindset of that child completely changes, because understand that your child, and look at yourself, you don't like doing what your parents tell you to do, right? You do things more when you see things that are already implanted in your brain and it comes natural and you think, oh, that was my idea, right? But you're implementing those little positive mental attitude situations to your kids. They saw how we worked every day. They saw that the business that they were in was growing and they would see that we were there hard. So automatically our kids, all they knew was entrepreneurship. And look at them today. We're so blessed. Our 30-year-old and our 24-year-old, both of them are very involved in the business. They're both entrepreneurs. They have their side little gigs that they do, but they're also very involved in our real estate portfolio, because at the end of the day, it is theirs. Yeah. It's going to stay, and they need to know how to manage it and stuff. But they still do their own little thing. You know, my daughter has her own fashion line. My son has, you know, he's a pet lover. He breeds Frenchies. He has a very successful business on the side. And they come to work every single day with us. So they have that entrepreneurship mind, but we didn't force them. It was just that we would bring them into the office. They would be surrounded about, you know, well, the people that are like-minded mind. Like, we made sure that they saw that. And what did they do? They just absorbed it, and they are, you know, where they're at today. I think because of that, it was not me pushing or Bobby pushing them. It was them just seeing the environment and they wanted to live that, you know?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of parents, they'll tend to force something on their kids. Like, hey, you have to do this business. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And then they just don't have that passion. And it just fades. Yeah. Especially, I mean, if we're talking generational wealth. And if your family just, your kids, they're not about it. You're kind of screwing it in the long term.
You can't create that generational wealth. You know, with our kids, both of them, they tried college. Hmm. They didn't like it. One dropped out first semester, I think 3 months. She was like, yep, this is not for me. Our son tried it for a year. He tried and tried because he really wanted to see if he could do it. He's like, it's just not for me. I'm like, that's fine. It's okay. As long as you know that you have a goal, that you have a purpose in life, and that you're not going to just sit at home and do nothing. You know, that was not going to work. But they both had a purpose. They wanted to be entrepreneurs. And they're doing it and being, you know, extremely successful on their own little business and being part of our generational wealth that we're trying to create for them.
Let's say you're a business owner that is extremely successful and they feel as if they have it all figured out. What's one thing that you would recommend to them to maybe to check themselves a bit, whether it's a tip of advice, something they might not be able to even think or comprehend right now that you learned along your journey, whenever you guys might have thought, hey, you know, we are rich now. But now it's that wealth level we're going after. So what would be that tip that you would give to somebody that's just kind of killing
it? You know, and there's so many little steps that you have to take. One of them is making sure that your ego doesn't get in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, Bobby always says it, that your ego is not your amigo. Because when you do have a successful business that you think is successful, right? And you've reached, like I said, you reached the rich level. And now you just think, oh, I don't need to do nothing else. I'm just going to go. And this business is bringing me in enough money for me to go buy, you know, my Gucci shoes, my Rolex or whatever. Money does run out. And if it's not reproducing itself, you need to be reproducing it at, you know, 100x. If it's not, why are you distracting yourself with materialistic things or fun things when your business is still not hardcore where it's bulletproof? And no business is ever bulletproof. I don't care what level you're at, you're not bulletproof. But so every step, like I said, once you climb that ladder, you got the first step. You need to reevaluate your business. You need to sit down and say, where am I at? Where is my goals? Where do I want to be with this business to take it to the next level? Yeah. Do I want to sell this business one day? If you do, you've got to make sure that you understand EBITDAs. You need to make sure that you understand what your kind of business is trading at. Who is your competitors? Who would want to buy you? So these little things, it all is different on the base of business that you have and your end goals. But every step, guys, you have to stop. You got to check yourself. You got to get humble. And you got to say, okay, I need to start from step one at this level. Because if you don't, you could crumble. You could be building, you know how you do the sandcastles? And it got built. You got it. It looked beautiful. But boy, one little shake or one little kick, it went. And it comes right back down. So you need to make sure that the foundation of your business at every level, it is solid.
A lot of people building their foundation off of sticks. And building it off of the concrete.
Yep. So, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do that check because you're checking yourself. So not many people like to check themselves. Yeah. But, you know, that's what's made Bobby and myself so successful is that we've been extremely humble. We don't let our egos get involved with anything we do. Sometimes right now, we go to our own buildings and we work at our own buildings sometimes. You know, we go in there and we do, if we don't like something, that's, Bobby goes and picks up garbage at the properties.
Yeah, that's
because he's that OCD. He's like, oh, no. And he spends an hour on the weekends, he goes and travels through all of our buildings, and you see him taking a bag and he throws things out. So you have to let go of that ego and be humble. Understand that you're only doing this for your own good.
Remember where you come from.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Remember the roots, and then, yeah, I mean, people lose sight of that. They get to that highest part of the climax and that peak, and like you're saying, they let their ego get in the way. I feel like people's communication skills kind of diminish a little bit with how they treat other people when they get to that level. And again, that plays into the ego with them thinking that they're better than it. But the fact that you just said that Bobby goes and picks out trash when he doesn't need to be doing business calls or furthering things even moving forward.
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
Yeah, no, and that was just going to go into, so Bobby and myself, when we had, you know, all these employees, we never called them employees. For them, they were our business partners, because without them, that business couldn't grow. Mm-hmm. So making sure that your mindset to your partners, which are your employees, are treated well, and that with all the respect that they need in order to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to hold your hand. Let's go. We're going to make this big, even though it's not their business. They don't need to be as passionate or wanting to do their 100% at their job. They don't have to. They're getting paid for it, right? But who cares? If you disrespect a person, they're going to show up to work like this every day. And they're going to sit there, and they're going to, at the end of the day, they still have like a pile of things to get done, but they don't care. If they get fired, they get fired. They're going to get unemployment, and they don't care. But if you treat your employees as partners and with all the respect that they are deserved, you're going to see how you will be able to go from zero to 100 so much quicker, so much quicker. So give them respect that they deserve, and you're going to see how you're going to get it back. Yeah. You know, it's being nice to others always get you a lot more than being that egoist, oh, I'm the boss, I'm the owner, I'm the one, and I'm the best. And that gets you nowhere. That gets you absolutely nowhere.
That respect,
yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, I always say, you know, people just want to be heard in terms of what they have to say. And the fact that somebody can listen to what it is that you're saying, it's like, hey, I respect what you're saying. Even if I got a different perspective, I got a different viewpoint, I'm still going to listen. And I feel as if that's all, like, active listening is something that's very rare to come across as well, because people think that they already have it figured out in their head and their opinion is how it should be. But the fact that they can simply listen to somebody else is to what you're saying. It's that respect level.
Yes.
And then that performance, especially if we're talking about an employee's, gosh, talk about just flourishing.
It's crazy. If you go and interview all of our employees that we have, like about 600, if you'll see the outcome that you get from them, they miss us like crazy, Bobby, because of this craziness that he always would give them. But we gave them respect. We even gave them the opportunity all the time. Give us your suggestion on what you think it's going to take to get your job to be smooth and to make this company, you know, grow.
Yeah.
So we would take in their input. Like, we would literally sit down with our employees right there, front and center, and listen to them give us feedback. Because for us, they're doing the work on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So what more productive can you get if your own employees are telling you, look, I think that... Now, it doesn't mean that we took everybody's suggestion and ran with it.
Right.
You know, we would bring it in, we would listen to it, we would put it into our model. If it didn't work, we would tell them, you know what, we tried it. It just doesn't work for our model. We would try modifying it and saying, okay, this works. But they had input. They felt like they were part of the business, you know. And that comes a long way, because that's the only way you could be successful, guys. You can't do anything on your own. I don't care how great you are. Bill Gates did not get to be a billionaire on his own. Warren Buffett didn't get to become a billionaire on his own. He has a slew of staff. If he doesn't treat those people well and those people don't want to work for them, Do you really think those businesses would have been able to get to where they're at? Amazon, guys. You have a driver, you have the warehouse guy, you have... You need a team. You cannot do this alone. So always remember that. To be successful in life, you have to treat others with respect and be able to be humble to listen to what they have to say.
That's so true. Sophia, you've touched on so many great points, and the audience and the people that are listening, I hope you implement this into your life. But most importantly, execute on these things as well. Because it's one thing, you know, you can go to the conferences, you can go to the different and listen to podcasts, watch the videos. But at the end of the day, if you don't actually implement it within your life, then it's just another one of those things. You're going to put that book back on the bookshelf and not implement it. So, Sophia, I want to say thank you for just sharing everything that you've shared on today's show on the podcast. And I guess one last thing before we kind of end things here. For somebody that's listening, they've taken everything in, they're like, hey, I want to execute, I want to go to town on it. What would that last thing be that you could offer to this world before you're leaving this earth, that from an advice and a tip standpoint that you would tell them?
I would say that you need to have some core values in your life. You need to know what your ultimate goal inside you, not nobody else. You know, if you have a partner that you're like myself and Bobby, our core values, we kind of merge them together, but we both have our list and then we just bring them together. But have a core value. Know exactly what you want and what you are willing to put in so that you could be successful and feel accomplished. Because if you just throw out there, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to be a billionaire, I want to be a millionaire, whatever the case may be. But if you don't have executions, like if you don't have that core value to be able to execute, you're going to fail. And then what happens? You're going to feel like a failure when you're really not. It's just that you didn't do it in the right way. So have a list of core values, have a list of your goals, what you want out of life, what's going to make you feel fulfilled. And at that point, you will be able to get there because you'll have a roadmap. And that's what's worked for me, and hopefully it works for you all that are listening.
Sophia, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Nate.
Absolutely. I'll attach everything in terms of links below for you guys to check out Sophia on social media as well as her website. And like I said, thank you for tuning in to the Roots of Success podcast. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Roots of Success podcast. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. I really appreciate that, as well as a like and a subscribe. Stay connected between shows by following me on Instagram @NateTheGreat. And remember, guys, success starts here. Keep winning. Nate the Great signing off.